Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gudolf Hindenburg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, this is Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. Today, I'm very excited to have as my guest Jackie Kay. She has been the National Poet of Scotland, the Macaire, a Scottish word for maker, and she has written a biography of Bessie Smith. It's a poet's biography of a blues legend, and the book simultaneously attempts to give us in detail a thrilling life of Bessie Smith and the life of the biographer Jackie Kay, who is a black woman who grew up in Scotland and became the Scottish national poet. When did you first encounter the singing shouting of Bessie Smith?
Oh, I like that, the singing shouting. I first encountered her when I was 12 years old. My dad bought me Any Woman's Blues double album, and it was for my 12th birthday. So that was just so exciting. I mean, it was such a great birthday present. I loved the two faces of her on that album, because in the front she looked quite sad and on the back she was smiling and laughing. And there was always this kind of doubleness right away in that album cover. And I loved the stories that were in the blues. I didn't understand a lot of them back then, in the sense that I'd hear something like Kitchen Man, and his frankfurters were nice and sweet. And I'd think that, you know, she had a man that was cooking her nice things to eat. And it was quite some time before I caught on to the double entendres. But yeah, it's fascinating when you love somebody from that age, just grew up with them.
I started hearing Bessie Smith when Columbia, which was the label she very first recorded with, they issued 160 of her sides. And from the time that she was very popular, the Empress of the Blues, till she reaches the point where she's down and out, and she already knows very well that nobody knows you when you're down and out. Now tell me, you were adopted. Your parents are leftists, radicals, and so they were able to do this. Tell me about them.
Oh, they're really fantastic people. They're called John and Helen Kay. And they had actually trouble being accepted by an adoption agency because they weren't particularly religious. They were political, you know, they believed in peace and all sorts of things, but they weren't particularly religious and they wouldn't lie about not being religious. So they had trouble being accepted by an adoption agency in the first place. But they really were the most remarkable people. I say were because they both kind of died in the last year. So I'm kind of heartbroken. But
sorry.
Thank you. I did have the kind of experience with them that if I'd had to choose them rather than they chose me, I would have chosen them. They were really, really fantastic and fun and wonderful people, and had a great sense of humour and a great sense of what was right and what was wrong in the world. And my dad absolutely loved the blues. But I remember when they got my brother first, he adopted my brother, who's the same colour as me, but he's not my biological brother. And my mum said to the adoption agency, they accepted them, and she said to them, by the way, we don't mind what colour the child is. They said, oh, really? Well, in that case, we've got a baby for you. And that was my brother, who was in an orphanage. And my mum couldn't get away with that. You know, she kind of repeat that story over and over to you. And then she told the adoption agency that she wanted another child his colour. One day, about 2.5 years later, they phoned up and said, we've got a woman coming down from the Highlands, and the father of the baby's from Nigeria. And my mum said, I'll have that baby. So she always said it was the closest she could get to giving birth herself. She didn't know if I'd be a boy or a girl, or healthy or unhealthy. And actually, when I was born, I was born very ill. And they told my mum to pick another baby, but she absolutely wouldn't because she got completely attached to the idea of Ruth.
Well, during the last month, I've read nearly all of Jackie Kay's poetry, which I think is quite beautiful. You get a specimen of it at the beginning, sort of the prologue to Bessie Smith, the biography. And I have to tell my listeners that I've come in the process to love Jackie Kay. She has also written novels and children's books, children's poetry and plays. And I wonder, not so much what is the role of people of color in Scotland, what is the role of an artist of color?
Oh, well, it's a lovely, lovely question. It's interesting, you know, because as you said, I was the MACR, the National Poet of Scotland, up until March this year. It was an extraordinary thing being asked to be the MACR, but also was particularly extraordinary for me because it felt like the first time I ever properly belonged to my country. I loved my country, but it was like people were always saying to you, where are you from? Because they couldn't hear your Scottish accent because they're too busy seeing your face. So people always assumed that I was American or from the Dominican Republic or whatever, even though I'm speaking to you like this. So it was the first time that I felt like I properly, as a Black Scottish writer, that I felt like I properly belonged to my country and that they took pride in me and that they knew that I was Scottish, that I didn't have to keep explaining and giving different stories. And that was felt quite a healing process. But, you know, I'm nearly 60, so it was late coming.
This becomes a part of Bessie Smith's story as well. First, she's singing by the age of 12 on the streets, and she joins traveling vaudeville shows in tents, but she's not among the first people to be asked to record her blues because it was said of her that her skin color was too brown and that her manner was too rough and that people wouldn't want to hear a normal Black housewife singing the blues until it turned out that she had an audience following her before she even recorded that was in the millions. And her very first set of albums released by the then new Columbia Records, 5 records, they sold 750,000 copies within the first 6 months. And the other blues singers, like Ma Rainey, who was very, very famous and bisexual, were accused of singing a whispery blues. Bessie Smith's blues are practically shouted. Her heartbrokenness comes from the heart, and her raucous qualities come from genuine inebriation and crazy deep love. In this book, you describe what it was like to hold her face on the record cover against your own and to see something that you finally knew as yours.
Yeah, that's a lovely, really lovely way to put it, just almost like a poem. But yeah, as a kid, I was fascinated with her face because I grew up in an all-white part of Glasgow, and I didn't have any teachers that were any teachers at all that looked like me. I didn't have any friends that looked like me. My parents didn't look like me. And so I kind of made an imaginary family up for myself, really, an imaginary family that had brown and Black people in it. And so Bessie was in that family. And it was really great to try and engage in that way. But there was lots of things that happened that nobody understood, and it was quite isolating. And my brother and I did get beaten up and bullied quite a lot. So I did kind of make this other world that was a positive world, and the world had the blues in it, and the blues spoke to me directly. And so when I was writing this book, I was trying to, first of all, remember that exact feeling as a child when you felt like you'd found a friend for life and that friend would stand up for you. She wouldn't run away when people shouted names. She would keep you company. And I thought, you know, she'd kept me company in so many different ways in my life. I wanted to find a way to write about that process of becoming, that how much the people that we love, whether they be writers or artists or singers, how much they become part of our own identity, particularly if we felt isolated, alone, misunderstood, that we can really fasten on to people and they become part of us. And that's not something that's often written about. You know, listening to your program, I get really reminded of that often, just how intimate the relationship is between writer and reader and how much it matters. And yes, so for me, Bessie's Blues, they told authentic, real stories. And some of these stories I could imagine, picture myself in. I often used to try and imagine going around in a Pullman. I didn't know that a Pullman was actually a train then. I thought it was a wagon. I imagine myself going around in a wagon and having sex with other women on the road. And, you know, I was like 14, 15 when I first read anything about her. And I read that she had sex with women in a Pullman. And I thought, oh, my God, that sounds so exciting.
Yes, her Pullman car was famous. Was it yellow with green letters or green with yellow letters?
That's right, yellow. It was yellow with green letters,
And she went everywhere with the niece of her husband traveling with her. At first, it was possible that this niece was spying on Bessie for her husband, who was one of Bessie's famous no good men. But it turned out that Sarah loved her and loved to be with her and found her powerful and found her singing beautiful. In fact, this niece wanted to be Bessie Smith, and Bessie had to prevent her from too much imitation, because Bessie was never going to be anything but her own woman. You know, she is the breaker of crowds. People assemble around her. Her voice is so piercing and powerful that she makes way in the room for herself. Now, I'm talking to the wonderful Jackie Kay, who is a Scottish poet. Jackie, do you happen to have the book with you?
Yes, I do, Michael. I have it right here.
Wonderful. Would you read the poem that begins it, The Red Graveyard, to us?
Yes, with pleasure. Thank you. The Red Graveyard I wrote because I was thinking of all the violent relationships that Bessie had with various different violent men. And in this poem, I imagine they're all collected together in the same graveyard, which was quite a kind of pleasing image, the red graveyard. There are some stones that open in the night like flowers, down in the red graveyard where Bessie haunts her lovers. There are stones that shake and weep in the heart of night, down in the red graveyard where Bessie haunts her lovers. Why do I remember the blues? I'm 5 or 6 or 7 in the back garden. The window is wide open. Her voice is slow motion through the heavy summer air. Jelly roll, kitchen man, sausage roll, frying pan. Inside the house where I used to be myself, her voice claims the rooms. In the best room even, something has changed the shape of my silence. Why do I remember her voice and not my own mother's? Why do I remember the blues? My mother's voice. What was it like? A flat stone for skitting, an old rock, long, long grass, asphalt, wind, hail, cotton, linen, salt, treacle. I think it was a peach. I heard it down to the ribbed stone. I'm coming down the stairs in my parents' house. I am 5 or 6 or 7. There is fat, thick wallpaper I always caress, bumping flower into flower. She is singing. Did they play anyone else ever? My father's feet tap a shiny beat on the floor. Christ, my father says, that's some voice she's got. I pick up the record cover, and now this is slow motion. My hand swoops, glides, swoops again. I pick up the cover and my fingers are all over her face, her black face, her magnificent black face. That's some voice, his shoes dancing on the floor. There are some stones that open in the night like flowers, down in the red graveyard where Bessie haunts her lovers. There are stones that shake and weep in the heart of night, down in the red graveyard where Bessie haunts her lovers.
That was the poem, The Red Graveyard, by my guest, Jackie Kay. It serves as an introduction to her biography of Bessie Smith, but it is in one of her books of poetry as well. You know, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to KCRW's Bookworm. Jackie Kay has republished her book, Bessie Smith, A Poet's Biography of a Blues Legend. The book was published originally 20 years ago, and finally, here it is, published in America in paperback by Vintage. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, this is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Jackie Kay about her new book, Bessie Smith, A Poet's Biography of a Blues Legend. It's a polyphonic text that combines history, poetry, personal narrative, memoir, and biography, lives of those people who took work songs and spirituals and combined them into the new form that became known as the blues, a form that influenced all of the popular music that followed it. And this was a generation of women. The men were dressed in a manner that showed their poverty. But the women, like Bessie Smith, were dressed in plumes. Bessie was given a red dress to audition in by her later-to-be thieving and impossible husband. But her color was red, and her manner of singing was clarion. This was not a whispery blues. This was knowing the blues as a way of life. Now, tell me, did you go back when you were listening to Bessie to the spirituals and the work songs and the church songs that informed her?
Yeah, I did. I've just immersed myself in the work songs and the lyrics of them and in the ones that I could find. I immersed myself in all of Bessie's recordings, you know, 160 different songs, and in all her contemporaries, you know, Clara Smith, Laura Smith, Ma Rainey, Alberta Hunter. I just listened to Louis Armstrong. I listened to all the people that were around at the time over and over and over again. And I like the idea of the kind of etymology of the blues that if we listen to contemporary jazz music, for instance, we will find the ancestral voice in the blues in it. I like tracing the blues bloodline back to its roots, and the work song and the slave song and the spiritual all influenced the blues. And Bessie herself went to church. That would have influenced the way that she sang as well and the way that she hung on to notes. I really became completely and utterly fascinated when I was writing the book with the idea that people had, these blues women had a story to tell, and a woman would come in their tens of thousands to see Bessie Smith, and she had this audience before she was ever even recorded. The story that she told was real to them. She was telling the story of their life. She was like a modern day chronicler. She was explaining their lives back to them, and people took her songs very personally. Those blues, they told of no good, no count men, but they told of death, they told of being haunted, they told of money problems, of floods, of depression, of crashes. There were women loving women in the blues. There was women being upset with men in the blues. There was women finding men irresistible in the blues.
I want to be sure that we end hearing Bessie Smith's voice. And you mention that she runs the range from the brokenhearted to the celebratory and raucous. If you were to choose between Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, a heartbroken song, and Give Me a Pigfoot, which one would you choose to represent Bessie with?
I think it's really, really, it's hard. That's a hard choice. I think that we should choose today because of this conversation that we're having right now. I'm trying to remember, or trying to capture for the people that listen to your program, the idea that Bessie was, she was flawed. She had a temper, but she was defiant. She had a real sense of herself as a working class black woman who was proud to be herself, who had a great sense of style, who liked dressing up and who liked to tell it like it is. So I think, yeah, let's go out with Give Me a Pigfoot, because I like thinking about her knocking back that moonlighting and eating a pigfoot. And when she was in her Pullman, she used to cook, you know, for her whole crew, and she'd make stews, pigfeet stews. So, yeah, I like to think of her on her train cooking, singing and drinking gin.
When I finally heard Bessie singing that song, which I already knew, it changed my life. Jackie Kay, I want to thank you very deeply. These last weeks I've been spending with your work, and I intend to read still more of it, and I intend to talk to you again in the future as you write more of it. This book, published by Vintage, is a beautiful book, but it took 20 years for it to appear in America. Why was that, do you think?
I think it's interesting, you know, sometimes books have their time. When it was published in the UK 20 years ago, it got no attention really either. I think it had one review and 1,000 of them were printed, and then it just disappeared. And it's only been republished now because of serendipity, really. Alexis, that works at Faber, who published it in the UK, happened to find a copy of the old book in a secondhand book shop. And so she took it home and she stayed up that night and just read it from cover to cover in one sitting. And she got in touch with me and said, you know, why hasn't this book had more attention? I didn't even know you'd written it. And so they published it here with Faber, and it got a huge amount of attention 20 odd years later. And maybe suddenly it was the right time. Maybe that mixture of memoir, biography was too much for people then. Maybe the book itself and the form of it was ahead of its time. All I know is that books have their moments. And it's really interesting to me that sometimes books come into their time.
Well, Jackie, I believe, just as you say, that Bessie Smith was a performer of her time, perfect for her time, and a perfect voice to meet Louis Armstrong's horn. And I think that your book, Bessie Smith, A Poet's Biography of a Blues Legend, is absolutely a book of this time. We may have waited 20 years for it, but I think it's a great book. Thank you for it. And here's Bessie Smith singing Give Me a Pigfoot.
25 cents? No, I wouldn't pay 25 cents to go in nowhere. 'Cause listen, yeah, up in Harlem every Saturday night, when the highbrows get together, it's just too tight. They all congregate at an all-night strut, and what they do is tut, tut, tut. Oh, Hannah Brown from Crosstown gets full of corn and starts breaking them down just at the break of day. You can hear old Hannah say, give me a Bigfoot, deep down he's got a rhythm. Yeah! When he stomps his feet, he sends me right off to sleep. Check all your razors and your guns. We gonna be wrestling when the wagon comes. I want a Bigfoot and a bottle of beer. Send me calls, I don't care. Slay me calls, I don't care. Give me a Bigfoot and a bottle of beer. Send me Gates, I don't care. I feel just like I want to clear. Give the piano player a drink because he's bringing me down. He's got a rhythm, yeah. When he stomps his feet, he sends me right off to sleep. Check all your razors and your guns. Do the shim, shim, shimmy, tell the rising sun. Give me a reaper and a gang of gin. Slay me cause I'm in my sin. Slay me cause I'm full of gin.
I've been talking with Jackie Kay, author of Bessie Smith, a poet's biography of a blues legend, published by Vintage. It has been a great pleasure. Thank you, Jackie, for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's really wonderful. I hope to see you in the flesh sometime.
Oh, I do too. I very much look forward to it. I want to tell my listeners that due to the pandemic, we are each taping remotely. Jackie Kay in the UK, me in my apartment in Los Angeles. So you might hear unusual sounds. You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show, also available on all podcast services and on demand with KCRW smartphone apps. You know, if you haven't done so already, please become a KCRW member. I'm very proud of having writers of the brilliance of Jackie Kay on my show, and you only hear programs like this on KCRW, so join us. Special thanks to Bookworm show collaborators Alan Howard and Sean Sullivan and engineer PJ Shahamat. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
A bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.